Good morning, everybody. Today is May 10th, Sunday, May 10th, and that is a special day. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. I just want to start out by just saying thank you to all our mothers out there, and we love you. Maybe you're just the biological moms, the moms who gave us birth, or the moms who nurtured and raised us and taught us and loved us and had compassion on us and made thousands and thousands of meals for us and washed our clothes infinite number of times and dressed us and just took all kinds of care of us. Or maybe you're our spiritual mom and you helped raise us and nurture us in the Lord. Maybe you're all three to some people, but we just want you to know we love you, and happy Mother's Day to you. And let me just be a little bit selfish for a moment and give a shout out to my mama, Janet Burke. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. On a scale of 1 to 10, you're 100. And I just love you so much, and thank you for who you are, and you're the best mama I could ever have. And so happy Mother's Day. All right, today I want to share with you a message that I just feel led of the Lord to share. This is actually a message that I shared a long time ago. If I had to guess, I would say probably 15 years ago, but I'm terrible with time. But at that time, it was called "Lord, Teach Us to Pray." Teach us to pray. But the thing that I feel led to teach on today is actually spurred from last week's message. And that message was entitled "The Importance of Relationship." And in that message last week, I started to talk about prayer and how we talk to God in prayer and how it's about relationship. And so I want to, I guess, expand on that today. That's what I feel led to do. And so the scripture that I want to look at is in Matthew chapter 26, verse 73. And we'll look at that in just a second. But the context of this is when Jesus is in the process of being betrayed. And so he's being led back and forth to Herod and Pilate. And so Peter is actually following him from a distance because he's scared. He sees that Jesus is being, taken in. He's going to be beaten, possibly even killed. And so Peter is following him from a distance. And at different times, people are saying, weren't you with him? And aren't you a part of his group? And he denied that he was a part of that group and even denied that he knew Jesus. And Jesus even told him that he would deny him three times. And so this is where we pick up this context in Matthew 26, verse 73. And it says this: after a little while, those who standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Your accent gives you away." Now, in other versions, it says the same thing, but I like this version a little better. It says, "Your speech gives you away." The way you're talking gives you away, or the way you're speaking betrays you. Your accent betrays you. And so that's what I want to key on today. And when we talk about prayer, the Bible says that we speak, and out of the abundance of our heart, the mouth speaks. So our heart is revealed when we speak. So is your speech betraying you in your prayers? And so the goal and the motivation of this is just to really just take a look at how we pray, in really a funny way at how a lot of us pray. But in the context of what I want to do is that I want us to look at this so that it can teach us so that we can be more real in our relationship with God when we pray. Because basically prayer is just, it's a way we communicate with God to cultivate that relationship. We want that relationship to be real. We want all relationships to be real and transparent. You know, in the Garden of Eden, it said that Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were hiding in the bushes. Why were they hiding? Because they were afraid. And so they couldn't show their real selves. And so for relationships to be transparent or real, they need to be transparent. So we want to cultivate that relationship with God in prayer and be real, because it's our journey to wholeness. God's desire wasn't just to save us from our sins and so that we could be with him for eternity. He also wanted to make us as he is, that we might be like him in character and nature. And so he wants us to be whole and whole. And so what does whole mean? Healing is for the body. Wholeness is for the inner man, for the soul, and for the spirit. You know, when we talk about our identity, who we are, you know, we want to become more and more whole. Every time we allow God to define us, instead of allowing others or even ourselves to define us, we become whole. And so a couple examples of that would be, one would be the 10 lepers. Do you remember when Jesus healed the 10 lepers? And the Bible says that only one came back to give him thanks. And he said, where are the other nine? He said, I don't know, Lord. And then Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. See, the other nine lepers, they got healed in their bodies, but this leper who came back with gratitude in his heart to give thanks to the one, to give praise to the one that gave him that gift, he became whole, more whole on the inside. Another example would be the rich young ruler. Do you remember when the rich young ruler came up to Jesus and they had a conversation, and eventually Jesus said, go sell all you have and come follow me. And that rich young ruler, it says, he went away sad because he had much possessions. He walked away with his earthly riches. His identity was partially defined by what he had, by his possessions. And so when he walked away with all his possessions, he also walked away the same in his inner man, or even less. He didn't make that journey to greater wholeness. And so even when the Bible says, and God teaches us, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Why is that? Because you're taking on the character and the nature of God. You're made in his image, and he's a giver. God gives. And so when we give, something happens inside us. We're made whole. That's why it's better to give than to receive. And so to cultivate our relationship with God through prayer, we're just talking to him. And so the question I want to ask you today, when you pray, does your speech betray you? Just like in Matthew 26:73, when they said to Peter, your speech betrays you. And so we're going to look at these 10 different, what I'm calling prayers, not prayers, but prayers. And as you listen to these, just think about, do I do this? Do I talk to God like this? I know I have, as I've journeyed with God to wholeness. That's why I know them. But if we talk to people, if we talk to those we have relationships sometimes like we talk to God, they would think we are absolutely nuts. And so as we look at these, I'm sure you'll chuckle as you think of the sometimes you've done this or other times you've heard it. But again, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so we're going to look at these 10 different prayers in this message today. Number one. So this one I've entitled, You Must Not Know Your Name Prayer. The you must not know your name prayer. This is the individual when they talk to God and they say his name 90 times in 1 minute. They call him Father God every other word, or Jesus, Jesus. And they just constantly say his name every other word, and or Lord, Lord. You know, it's like God has amnesia, like he doesn't know his name. Can you imagine if you were talking to a human being and you said their name like every third word? They'd be like, are you okay? You all right there? I know my name. And so God knows his name. You don't have to say it 1,000 times when you pray. That's the first one, the you must not know your name prayer. Now, the second one is called the manipulation prayer. The manipulation prayer. This is what I've called the little dictator. You know, someone who comes to God and they just think they can just claim whatever they want. They can claim the promises of God. You know, if he did it for somebody else, he'll do it for you too. Well, isn't it interesting how we only claim that for what things we think are good or things that we want? How about you start claiming the suffering of Christ? The Bible says that we might know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, and that we might be conformed to his death. Why don't you claim that in your manipulation prayer? Or how about claim what happened to John the Baptist? He was beheaded. You going to claim that? Or how about the Hebrews 11 people who were sawn in two, crucified upside down, boiled in oil? You going to claim that in your prayer? Or how about Job? You want to stay far away from claiming anything in Job's life, right? You know, he loses everything. You know, this is a combination of not thy kingdom come, but my kingdom come, in a hocus pocus formula prayer, the manipulation prayer. Your speech betrays you. Jesus said, follow me. We don't get God to follow us. And so that's number two. Number three, I've called this one the vain repetition prayer. The vain repetition prayer. This is somebody who thinks that just by the multitude of their prayers, they're going to be heard. There's nothing wrong with rosary beads in the foundation of what they are. If you know, you're using those beads as a tool to cultivate relationship, but if you're using them just to say one prayer, the same prayer over and over again, Jesus even said, "Don't pray like the heathen who think they'll be heard by the multitude of their words." And so the vain repetition prayer is somebody who just says the same thing over and over and over, and they think that God will answer them just because of how many times they pray it. Like there's this magic number that once you reach it, God eventually goes, boom, bing, that's it. You've said it enough. Now I'm going to release the prayer, and I'm going to release the answer. And so that's number three. Number four, I call this the impersonator prayer. The impersonator prayer. Have you ever heard a good impersonator? When I think of somebody, because of my age, I think of somebody like Rich Little. How many of you remember Rich Little? That'll show your age. He would go on Johnny Carson, and he would imitate Johnny Carson and Muhammad Ali and Carol Channing. Wow, that brings back memories, huh? But if you would close your eyes, you would literally think that you were hearing them. And so this impersonator prayer that I'm talking about is somebody who, when they pray, their voice actually changes, like to a different sound. You know, like if you would just listen to them talk in normal speech, but then when they pray, all of a sudden, oh, Father, oh, God. It's like, you okay? Who did you just become? The impersonator prayer, I call them. And so if a relationship is going to be real, you're not going to talk strange to God and use your normal voice to everybody else. And so that's number four. Number five, I call this the special word prayer. The special word prayer. This is the individual who the only time they use these words is when you hear them praying or talking to God, like thee and thou and thy, or Father, thank you for these gifts you have bestowed upon us, or thank you for these bounties we are about to partake of. Like bounties, who are you? Like Jack Sparrow? All of a sudden you're like, arr, thank you, Father, for these bounties. Right? We use words that we would never use in any other conversation in our lives. But when we talk to God, we use these crazy words. And so again, our speech gives us away. It's almost like we're going through the motions. We're not being real. Never in my 55 years of life have I ever heard in normal conversation somebody say bounties or bestowed. Never. You know, or say thee or thou or thy. I get it. We read the King James and that starts to get into your spirit. That's okay. But think about these special words you say in prayer and let it become real. Let it become real. Talk to God like you would talk to anyone else. He knows your heart. All right, that was number five. Number six, prayer. I call this one the one-year-old vocabulary prayer. The one-year-old vocabulary prayer. You know, if you think of a parrot is amazing. Some parrots have quite a vocabulary, 500 words, 3,000 words, whatever. You know, some say that parrots can speak like a third grade mental level. Well, that's fine for a parrot, but it's not fine for when you're talking to God. You know, some people say, I don't know what to say when I pray. But yet when they talk to human beings, they like can't shut up. Or, you know, I don't want to pray because I can't say the right words. So there is no right words. God doesn't look on the outward appearance of a man. He looks at the heart. And so develop that vocabulary with God, just like you develop a vocabulary with human beings. And so that is number six. Number seven, prayer. I like this one. This is the I'm not really talking to you, God, prayer. The I am not really talking to you, God, prayer. This is the individual when they're in a room with a group of people and maybe they know somebody isn't saved or they have somebody that they want to give a message to or talk to them about something. They use God as a decoy, right? And so they say, Father, I thank you. And they begin to speak to the people in the room with them instead of talking to God. And, you know, the Pharisees prayed that way. They prayed long. They prayed loud. They prayed in the marketplace, but not so God could hear them, but so people could hear them. or many times people will use prayer in this particular vein to preach. You know, instead of praying and talking to God, they actually use it to preach, to give a message to somebody in the room. The I'm not really talking to you, God, prayer. And so that's number seven. Number eight. Number eight prayer. I call this one the drive-through window prayer. The drive-through window prayer. This is where, God, I'm not even interested in relationship. I'm not even interested in talking to you, but here's my list of everything that I need and I want. And my payment is just the time it takes me to ask. And I'm just driving through here. I'm in such a hurry. And then I'm out of here. I drive through. Now, I expect my answers at the next window. You know, and this is what I mentioned last week. You know, can you imagine if the only time someone came to you is when they wanted something, like prayers only about getting answers? You don't like people to do that to you. You don't like to be taken advantage of. That's not relationship. That's not being real. Just giving God your laundry list of all the things you want instead of developing the relationship with God and asking him maybe what he wants. And did we ever think of that? Did we ever think of asking, you know, the scripture says this, that Jesus lives to make intercession for us. That means right now he's praying. What is he praying for? Maybe ask Jesus what he's praying about, and then we can join him in asking him for thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. You know, we say that when we pray like that, that really we're not interested in what you want, God, but this is what we can get from you. And so that's number eight. Number nine prayer. I call this the Evelyn Wood speed prayer. the Evelyn Wood speed prayer, right? This is the individual when they talk normally, they have a certain cadence. They have a certain number of words that they use per minute when they talk to you. But when they come to God in prayer, all of a sudden it's like speed prayer. Like it just ramps up. It's like, oh, Heavenly Father, thank you for this gift. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your glory. I thank you for your will being done on earth. Oh, I pray for answer. I pray for it. And all of a sudden, it's just like, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like all of a sudden you hit fast forward button on their mouth, right? That who are you talking to? Why are, oh, it's the anointing. Is that what it is? It's the Holy Spirit that turns you into this speed talker. No, our speech betrays us. It's a tradition. It's our culture. It's a cultural thing. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but the question is that how you really want to talk to somebody you want to be intimate with? It's like, slow down. I only know two people that could talk like that. You remember the guy on the TV commercial who could speak like, oh my goodness, 500 words in like a second? I mean, he was on the commercial. And then the other one is one of Jesse's friends, Jeffrey Miller. When he talks so fast, we need Jesse to interpret it for us. But that's the Evelyn Wood speed prayer. They pray so fast. And their speech possibly betrays that they're not being real. And then the last one, number 10. This is the God is deaf prayer. The God is deaf prayer. So when this individual prays, all of a sudden their volume increases by like two times, right? You're with this person, and when they talk to you, it's just like their volume is at this level. But when they talk to God, all of a sudden, boom, it's like, oh God, thank you, Father. It's like, God's not deaf. Why are you doing that? I can remember one time when I was in a service and an individual was preaching. And that was the first thing I thought of. You know, they're doing their introduction and they're talking to us like we're human. And then all of a sudden, now they read the scripture and boom, their volume just went up like 5-6 times because they're preaching. Well, God's not deaf, right? And so when you pray, you don't need to yell at him. He can hear you. As a matter of fact, you don't even need to say words for him to hear you. He's not deaf. So that's number 10. The God's not deaf prayer. So there's your 10 prayers that I just felt led to share. I hope maybe they gave you a chuckle, or maybe they might have pricked your heart and said, oh my goodness, I do that. Well, again, the intention here is, and the Word of God is a sharp sword. And the reason why I wanted to share these with you is just so that we can look at some of the things we do, so that we can just correct those, and we can just chill, and we can come to our Father. We can come to our Father who knows what we have need of before we even ask. You know, how should I pray? They came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Well, I would imagine it would be the opposite of those 10 things I just said. Talk to God. Communicate to God like he's your best friend, because he is. Talk to him like it's relational, right? Jesus, when he came and they said, teach us to pray, he said, pray like this, our Father. They never prayed to God like a father like that. Our Father, that's in heaven. Holy is your name. And so he taught them to be real with them. So I just encourage you to take a look and listen to your heart. And out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. And is your speech betraying you in prayer? Let's pray together. Father, we just thank you for this time we've had together. Again, we thank you for Mother's Day. We thank you for all the wonderful, sacrificial, loving, and giving they've given to us down through the years. We just ask for your blessing and your presence upon them, and may they just fulfill the destiny and the purpose why you brought them onto this earth. We thank you for the love and the mercy and the faithfulness and the compassion we see in them that makes us look up and say, thank you, God, for your goodness. And so we just speak your blessing over one another. We just pray as families spend time together today that you would just let them know and let them feel a very manifest presence of yourself there with them. that they would acknowledge your goodness and the blessing of family and the blessing of relationships and love. And we just speak your blessing over our nation as we continue to go through this time of social distancing and the coronavirus. And we just so look forward, Father, to when we can start coming back to being gathered together. And we look to you and know that nothing takes you by surprise. And Lord, we just thank you for this time that has lifted so many eyes upward towards you and rekindled so many people's passion for you and many coming to you through this time. And we just know that you are going to finish the work that you started in us. And we thank you for that all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day in the Lord.